Welcome to the Full of Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It's 2:52 p.m. That is Central Time. Today is March 13th. We had fireworks over the weekend, and basically the Federal Reserve, the FDIC, the U.S. Treasury, they all acted together to backstop the entire banking sector. So the limit on deposits in the past was $250,000 as a guarantee. Now, basically, every deposit is insured. And that is aimed directly at avoiding any possibility of further bank runs. So that is a big event. And it brings into clear focus the impact of raising interest rates so aggressively over the course of just the last 12 months. Because this time last year, on the 14th, well, let's just call it the 15th of March last year, they had their first 25 basis point hike. And subsequently, they've just gone and raised rates by 4.5%. So that has obviously caused an issue for anyone who was buying treasuries before that, because now the coupon has gone way up. It means that anyone who is buying a low coupon bond is sitting on a big unrealized loss. And to the extent that those are long dated, well, you'd have to hold them for an awfully long time to get your money back. Now, let's think about the 10-year treasury yield. At the beginning of 2022, it was 1.5%. And as recently as December, it was at about 4.25. So we're talking about a really significant jump higher in the yield. Now, we've had two big downward dynamics. One was really Friday, the other was today. And the yield is now testing the 3.5% level. So this is the first area of potential support. And the dynamics are sufficiently large to question whether this isn't a top formation. If we see downside follow through the balance of this week, and particularly if the yield comes down through the 200-day moving average, well, then that will break the trend. But we are about 9 days out from the next Fed meeting. So I suspect at least that what we're going to see between now and then is a fair bit of trading around, and in the bond market, people willing to bide their time. There's not really a lot to be gained by putting on big positions after we've already seen an almost 50 basis point move in less than 2 weeks. And then the potential that the Fed meeting could be a surprising event. But it does raise important questions. So let's just look at some of these banks, because Goldman Sachs is the primary reason why the Dow Jones erased its positive advance today. It's a high-priced share and it's a price-weighted index. So most importantly, it's finishing on the low of the day. Now, I think it's most particularly relevant to highlight this because primary growth sector of Goldman's business has been asset management. And one of the primary business lines that asset management has been to lock people up in these very long-term structures. And in some cases, it might have a lockup of 10 years, and then significant penalties if one were to break out of that. And then those funds were invested in long-dated instruments, but not long-dated instruments that everyone thinks of, like long-dated bonds, but more like commercial real estate or in bits of businesses. And the allure of those types of asset is that they have high yield. The challenge is that they're illiquid. And when liquidity takes on a premium, which is during a crisis, well, then that illiquidity becomes a really significant liability. So that's one element of the business that's under threat right now, because commercial property is rolling over. And all these towers with nobody working in them any longer, Then, and particularly in places like New York or San Francisco or Los Angeles, these are major commercial real estate markets. But then we have the additional point, and it is that one of the other services that asset managers offer is asset-backed loans. And the asset-backed loan has grown in importance for businesses over the course of the last decade because people had highly appreciated portfolios of stock and they didn't want to sell those highly appreciated stocks because of the capital gains tax implications. So the handy alternative then is to borrow against them. That was then the proceeds from that borrowing were then fueled or helped to fuel the boom in housing, cars, boats, planes, and second homes internationally, or the second home phenomenon generally. And of course, then what happens when the value of those stocks goes down? So, Apple, for example, has not fallen a lot, but of course, Tesla has. And the ARK Innovation ETF is down about 75% from its 2021 peak. So, when your portfolio of assets has deteriorated, then you're asked by your lender to post additional collateral. And of course, that means you've got to sell something else, or you have to come up with the funds, or you have to pay down the loan in a rather hurried manner. So obviously, then this is problematic, and it's one of the reasons why some of these banks have been running into trouble because they made loans on assets and then they took big bets on long-dated bonds. And that's certainly the case with Silicon Valley Bank. But then the bigger question is, how well are they going to be able to make themselves whole? And this is where the actions of the Federal Reserve and the US government come in, because they're backstopping all deposits. But most importantly, what they're trying to do then is to increase confidence in the bond market, that there will be a rally in price. So the 2-year jumped on Friday and then jumped again in here today, and it has broken the sequence of lower rally highs, and it is now in the region of the 200-day moving average. The 2-year is clearly pricing in the potential that we are at the peak of the interest rate hiking cycle. Now, if we then look at the 3-month, let's remember that the Fed funds rate is 4.75, and the 3-month is also 4.75. Now, it was well off the low in here today. So investors are not quite yet willing to believe that there's the possibility of interest rate cuts on the horizon, but certainly willing to price in the potential that the peak is already in and that the Fed meeting next week is going to deliver no interest rate hike. So that's certainly a potential outcome. And that is why the Nasdaq was up 1% in here today. Now, it wasn't quite able to hold all of the move, but certainly bouncing here from around the 12,000 level and at the upper side of that underlying range. So this is positive action. Now, I closed my short position in the Nasdaq this morning, just simply because I thought that if we're at the peak of the interest rate cycle, then interest rate sensitive sectors like technology are going to benefit from that, and there would be less chance of the Nasdaq leading on the downside. Then, of course, if interest rates aren't going to rise any further, that's also negative for the dollar. So the dollar is now pulling back, and the dollar index is pulling back from the region of the 200-day moving average. The yen has also started to strengthen up once more, so closing below the 200-day moving average. The pound and the euro are also steadying up in here. And the euro clearly now bouncing from the region of its 200-day moving average. So there's certainly the potential here that we're going to see an additional down leg in the dollar, because the primary reason why people had been bullish of the dollar was because of the widening interest rate differential. And then that's basically being negated by the possibility that we're at the peak of the interest rate hiking cycle. So gold has followed through on the upside. It was up $45 in here today. Now that's about as clear evidence of support in the region of the 200-day moving average and 1800 as one might wish for. And we're coming back up towards that 2000 level, I suspect, over the course of the balance of this month. And if the dollar continues lower, then there's nothing to say that gold isn't going to break on the upside. Something I've talked about in the past is that you need two characteristics for a big bull market in gold. You need a weak dollar, but most particularly, you need negative real interest rates. And the negative real interest rate ingredient has been a lot less powerful over the last 2 years because of the interest rate hiking cycle. But if at the Federal Reserve is willing to stop raising interest rates in an environment where inflation is still quite high, then that negative real interest rate environment is going to become more compelling. So then that will add fuel to the upside for gold. But of course, it's not like we are out of the woods here. So oil prices pulled back quite sharply in early trading today, and then by the time we got to the close, we're still above the $80 level. So if the low holds here, then we're still in this range. If we get downside follow through tomorrow, then that's a breakdown, and we should anticipate that oil prices would fall quite a bit from where they are right now, and perhaps go back down and test the 60 handle. And I think that is to be expected, considering how narrow the range has been, how long it's been going on for, and that ranges are explosions waiting to happen. And then natural gas prices were a little bit steadier in here today, up 19 cents. If we are, I think there is the potential that this is a higher reaction low, and that would suggest that we have potential still for additional upside. I'm personally waiting to see a little bit of follow through on the upside before I reinitiate my longs, because I do think that prices are exceptionally depressed following what was almost a cataclysmic decline in the last few months. But let's just think through what's going on in the wider market right now, because HSBC, for example, paid £1 for Silicon Valley Bank's UK operations, and the share was down in a fairly dynamic manner here. So we're definitely seeing an unwinding of the short-term overbought condition for the European banks. And then let's also not forget that one of the primary concerns for many investors in Europe will be what's going to happen with Credit Suisse. So the share was down again in here today, and it's looking still to be really quite a consistent downtrend. That is despite repeated efforts to sell business units, recapitalize, bring in big institutional and even sovereign wealth fund investors, and it has not yet been able to check the decline. So there have been a succession of bad business decisions made, but perhaps they are also suffering from the same kind of trouble that they made wrong bets at the wrong time, and now they've been caught short by the significant surge higher in interest rates. Now it's, I think, particularly relevant to highlight that the yield curve spread has popped higher in here today, so up 45 basis points. And we're still negative by 43 basis points, but certainly it has now rallied enough to break the downtrend. Generally speaking, we get some of the biggest selling pressure when the Federal Reserve eventually starts cutting rates in response to a sharply slower economic environment. The challenge at present is that inflation is still high and economic growth is still strong, and that the trouble that we're seeing right now is more about asset prices and less about the hard economy. In fact, to the extent that we do have a recession, it's more like a white collar recession, in that it is a lot of the higher paid people working in startups with advanced degrees that are considered to be the cream of the crop in terms of academic potential, are those that are in companies that are going through extraordinary stress. So there's really a huge mismatch between the experience of people in the most highly valued part of the economy and then everyone else. But that's unlikely to last. That eventually the Federal Reserve will start cutting rates, and when they do that, it will be in response to slower economic growth, and then that will filter down into just about every other area. So when we then think about the outlook here, well, perhaps another barometer to pay attention to is copper. And copper prices were in positive territory today and continuing to hover here around the $4 level. So that's more of an indication of what's going on in China. But the uptrend is still intact. And when we think about then where are people going to put their money? Well, copper miners are also steadying here from the region of the 200-day moving average. And we might yet see a recovery in some of the technology shares because of the potential for lower interest rates. But it's unlikely that we're going to go into the same kind of mania or manic buying phase that we had in the past. But we certainly know that there's a lot of plans for infrastructure development. There have been budgets set aside for it. And then there is an increasingly tense geopolitical environment which will require duplication of infrastructure. And of course, we also have to think about that. We've had a very lengthy period where there hasn't been a lot of spending or investment in new supply. And that means that these companies are less levered, whereas it is the more levered companies are under pressure. So we could easily be at that change point in terms of the secular trend, but I think that it is too early to draw that conclusion simply because oil prices are under pressure and it's hard to make an argument that we're going to have a big commodity bull market without oil taking part in that. But of course, if that bull market is about an energy transition, well, then it would be hard for that to take place without copper taking part. And at least copper is trending higher. But the outperformance that we're seeing right now in gold is, I think, very indicative of the pressure that's coming to bear on the wider economy as a result of the quantitative tightening program. Silver bounced emphatically today from above the $20 level, so that is confirming at least near-term support in the region of the upper side of that base formation. So there's certainly the potential here that precious metals are going to do better, that industrial metals might do well, and then it's going to be I think, a crap toss, whether or a coin toss, whether we see oil prices doing better from here. Then let's just think about some of these companies that are very levered to the consumer. So, for example, Costco was a little steadier in here today, but there's clearly a sequence of lower rally highs, and there's been a significant loss of momentum. And then Walmart has also been ranging now for about 2.5 years, and it's basically at the lower side of most of that range. We've definitely had failed upside and downside breaks along the way. So there isn't clear evidence yet that the consumer is rolling over. But then I think Lululemon, that it is now right in the region of the 200-day moving average and looking kind of weak here. This could easily be a top formation. Well, Lululemon is expensive goods, and when we think about Costco and Walmart, it's more about the middle class, whereas Lululemon is really more about disposable income. So it's the beginning of tightening. I also kind of pay attention to Bread Financial because they've got so many of those store credit cards, and the share is certainly rolling over. So it does tell us that the funding of those store credit cards is under pressure, and that we're seeing risk getting priced in here. When I think about the kind of move that we've had in the regional banks, they're all getting painted with the same brush at the moment. But the reality is that many have very different business models. So there will be value opportunities within it. The banking index itself rebounded off its intraday low, but it didn't really capitalize on that rebound. But we've seen quite a few doing better than that. Now, I'm not sure this is the right one. No. Well, I can definitely think about let's I'm being I do apologize because I have forgotten the names of the smaller banks that I wrote about earlier on today. When we think about the regional banks index, we can definitely see that a good number were well off their lows in here today, but some of those that are most levered were still down over 20% on the day. And I think this is most particularly relevant for when we think about companies like OZK, where they have basically commercial and retail banking, and certainly pulled back violently last week, but then pretty much steadied at the lower side of the range and the lows from 2022. Now, there are plenty of others that have pulled back much more violently. And then we have the performance of companies like Charles Schwab. So that has pulled back really very violently, but it was well off the lows in here today. So they're basically saying that 80% of their deposits are insured by the FDIC. And perhaps the decline we've seen so far in the stock is pricing in the other 20%. But they were exceptionally active in that portfolio collateral lending program. And that's obviously now coming back to bite them. So there's going to be consolidation within the banking sector. And there's certainly going to be buying opportunities, but the extent to which those buying opportunities are long term is going to be very much impacted by the Fed's decision and how aggressively they do eventually cut rates, and more particularly, how long do those rates stay down for before they start raising them again. The one thing that I think nobody is really willing to talk about right now is that we can think about what happened with the UK and its pension liquidity issue. So yields surged higher, The Bank of England had to intervene. They did that. But then they didn't stop raising rates. So if we look at the fact that the yield peaked in September, but they still continued to raise rates, and the base rate now is at 4%. Now, in the event that the Federal Reserve were to do something akin to what the Bank of England did and persist in raising rates while simultaneously backstopping the deposits of failing institutions, then there's a strong likelihood that the kind of stresses that Silicon Valley Bank have had would then filter through into much bigger organizations. So obviously, we have still got this question of moral hazard, and inflationary pressures have not been vanquished. So even though the bond market is now pricing in the peak of the interest rate hiking cycle, well, we have yet to see the Fed in fact acting. So I think it's likely they will, and that inflation is probably going to be baked in the cake, and that we're now in a new inflationary cycle because the system is simply not capable of absorbing the kind of shock therapy that is currently being introduced. It might take a mild recession and then further tightening cycle to flush out the leverage in the system. And that could take years, and it would be very similar to the kinds of events we had in the 1970s. So we're certainly at an exceptionally interesting period for markets that could frame the entire secular backdrop for much of the next decade. And I think with that, I'll leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.